Can you hear me?
You listening to
#WAW. What a week.
Yeah. What a week.
Hello, June, you hump of the year. How did we get here? Well, not sure what the ride over the hump is going to be like, but I know that the show is going to be like. As always, we try to cater to different tastes, whether it's food, politics, or even petrol. And we've got guests who can expand on all of those. So let's get straight into it. Welcome to our What a Week. Wow, what a week it's been.
This is...
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. You can't make this shit up.
Our comedian guest is in the building. IOL referred to him as one of the most exciting voices in South African comedy. And The Guardian News outlet referred to him as genial misfit, whatever the heck that means. We would refer to him as fascinatingly nice guy. Please give a wow welcome to someone who's familiar with Duis's, even though he isn't one himself. Make some noise for Skulk Poseidonhout.
Hello.
Jeez.
Do you not have an effect there?
Okay, pepe. Don't do that voice when you're saying hi to a girl, though. Because surely it can't work.
What?
That voice you just did, that hello.
Hello. I don't know. I'm still stuck in that COVID videos I did. Hello means, I don't know why my voice went up a register, but yeah.
It works. It worked for David Kramer. I'm sure it would work for you.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm a bit upset that you came onto our set and you're not wearing one of your signature blankety cardigan jersey type things. What happened?
You're
off brand right now, Skulk.
I know. I just sweat a lot in them, and I
you call sweaters for a reason, Skulk.
I've heard a lot of jersey jokes, but that is a good one. I haven't heard that one. And you didn't even blink. That was great. That was great.
Skulk Poseidonhout. I'm with an overseas friend of mine. How would I describe you to that friend?
Just a comedian.
Yeah.
I would say, I don't know, comedian. I've heard this thing that my friend Ryan said, that there's a difference between being a South African comedian and a comedian from South Africa.
Okay.
At the moment, I'm trying to be a comedian from South Africa and not a South African comedian.
Okay, so what you're saying is you don't want to get to Australia and tell South African jokes.
Yes, because then you're limiting yourself just to getting the South African expats over there.
Exactly.
But the idea is to build a new audience and to grow. And it's nothing, it comes across as like, oh, I don't want to perform to South Africans. Of course, I always want the South Africans to come. But I mean, there's only ever going to be so many South Africans in a place like fucking Adelaide.
So you don't want to do a show for homesick people. You want to do a show for people that want comedy.
Yes, exactly. And I want people to, wherever I tour in the world, to be able to confidently say to their friend, whether it's like a Swedish guy or an Australian, to say, come with to the show. It's this guy. He's proudly South African, but you will still get all the jokes and you'll enjoy it as well.
My lasting memory of you, and one of the times that I realized that I actually appreciate your craft and your art, was during lockdown. When you started your video diary, as it was.
Yes.
How did you even give birth to that?
Well, I think...
And was it supposed to be serialized and daily?
No. I made a video, I think... So I went to Cape Town for shows.
Yes.
And then on the plane, I was still going to do the shows. And then I went through some sort of crisis in those 2 hours between Joburg and Cape Town, because... Then COVID had already started, kind of, it was on everyone's lips and stuff, and in the air, and someone told me something before I took off that said, like, everyone is going to look at these things in retrospect.
Oh, yes.
So if a lot of people die, then you're always going to be the guy who knew that there was this virus going around, but you still went ahead and did the shows anyway.
Yes.
Because you were selfish. So by the time I landed...
Like, people are dying, but listen to this joke.
Yes. Here's a joke about people dying. Don't worry, won't be any of us in this room right now. And when I landed in Cape Town, I said to my friend, listen, the guy who organized the shows, I said, listen, I'm going to still go stay in the Airbnb that I booked. I'll just absorb that cost, but cancel all the shows. I'm freaking out. Like, I can't... If there's one cough in the show, I don't know how I will handle it. And then I just stayed in Cape Town. I thought, let me just make it like a bit of a holiday. Stayed in Cape Town.
So you cancelled the shows?
Cancelled the shows.
Jeez.
It was in that week that Cyril
the
was...
The COVID fear week.
It was that week where Cyril was basically saying, everything's going on as normal, but be careful.
Making him the many promises that he hasn't kept.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
It was just one of those.
Just kind of saying, just keep an eye out and whatever. Then I was like, no. And then also, like, other comedians were cancelling shows. And then I thought, okay, am I being very irresponsible? And then I was just stuck in this flat in Cape Town for almost a week. On the first day, I finished Tiger King.
Yeah.
And then after that, I just started making videos. I made a video about Tiger King. I made a video about this. I made a video about that. And the videos were getting, like, amazing views. And I was wondering why. And then I realized, because most people are now sort of self-isolating and at home and on their phones the whole time. Then when I landed back in Joburg, I made a joke about the elbow thing. Cyril did a thing where you, like, demonstrated.
You greet the elbow.
And then I was like, COVID can get through your fucking elbow. This thing is taking over the world. You think it goes, oh no, elbow. I didn't study for this part. I can only go through hands. And then that video did really well. And before I knew it, on Facebook, it had, like, gone viral.
Yeah.
And then when lockdown happened, I thought, okay, because normally as a comedian, I would go, I don't want to waste jokes by putting it out for free on social media, because then I can't use it on stage.
Yes.
But COVID was this perfect little thing where the jokes were, if something happened, it was only funny for like 2 days and until there was a new thing that everyone was joking about. So I thought, if I think of something funny and I don't put it out right now, it's not going to be relevant in 6 months.
Exactly.
So, because it was all topical. So then I just decided to put it out. And then when I saw that people were reacting to the feeling good, feeling positive vibes, then I challenged myself and I said, okay, I'm going to do a video every day, whether I feel like it or not,
and
I'm going to put it out.
Bruh.
I went, I did it.
There were days where I'd get up, put on my phone, go to your account on Instagram, and you haven't posted yet. And then I get into a panic. I hope he's not dead. Like, I hope he didn't get COVID. Like, I hope he's okay. Where's Skulk? Skulk, where's my video? Because they became part of my sanity.
And
seeing the world through your crazy outlook.
It also became part of my sanity. It also did way more for me than people realized. I didn't, in the moment, wasn't really saying it because I didn't want to get too sentimental. But I mean, the fact that I was one of a few comedians that still had a purpose, even though it wasn't necessarily paying work, it was still like, I was still
fulfilling,
doing my job every day, which is making people laugh, even though it was like in a different way.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I spent the first couple of days with my parents.
Yeah.
My dad is 81.
Okay.
And my mom is 74.
They're both retired, I'm assuming. Do they still work?
They still send me around. So they're not retired parents.
But
they don't work anymore. Anyway, so I spent a week with my parents and we had a lot of fun catching up, chatting. And then I read that Al Pacino, who's 82, is expecting a child. His girlfriend
He's not expecting a child.
No, his girlfriend is 29. Al Pacino is 82. And the first thing I thought was, I can't even imagine my dad pumping at 81. Like, what's Al Pacino doing pumping at 82?
I don't think Al Pacino was doing the pumping. I think he was lying horizontally on his back.
Saying, don't kill me now.
And I think the 29-year-old was probably doing most of the work in that situation, if I'm honest.
It was like, Al Pacino, you're 82, dude, like,
condomize.
Haven't you fucking heard of a condom, Al Pacino? Like, what are you doing?
Do you know what? You know what's sad for that kid, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so that kid is going to be born. His dad is one of the most famous actors of all time. But I mean,
and dad will be 83 when he's born.
Yeah, but part of the fun of having a famous dad is being at school. So, like, for example, Brad Pitt's kids now. They at school. Hey, who's your dad? Brad Pitt. Yeah. What?
Yes.
That's amazing. That's incredible. But by the time that kid is in high school, if Al Pacino is now 83, if he is still alive, then
he'll be 100.
He's going to pretty much be 100, right?
When the kid is in matric, he'll be 100.
These kids' friends, that generation is not going to know Al Pacino. Then it's like, my dad's actually a famous... Who's your dad? He's actually this famous actor. Who? Al Pacino. Never heard of him.
Never heard of him. But I know he's in my mom's wank bank.
I love it. I just hope his mom actually, finds another famous actor. Because what if she now goes from Al Pacino to she's like a CA? And now the kid's like, my dad is Al Pacino, but now my new dad is like fucking boring CA. That's cock. Imagine that disappointment.
Speaking of disappointment, you just came back from overseas.
Yeah.
And this week and the past week and the previous week, the Rand has not been doing too well. So
yeah.
How do you fare out there with your meager Rands and now having to change them into pounds and Australian dollars?
Yes, dude, it was tough. Like, eventually, it's not even weird anymore to pay standard. Now, yeah. So after the shows, I drink a lot of red wine, and then often I would get, like, Uber Eats, I'd get McDonald's
yes.
when I get back to the hotel. Standard, this is for not a family meal, quarter pounder cheeseburger, some nuggets, a Coke, 500 Rand.
Oh, yeah, because it comes off your card, so yeah. You see it in Rand.
The thing is, people say don't convert. Fucking tell FNB then to not send me a notification. Before I can... Of course, I'm going to see the amount before I swipe it away. I can't just blindly be swiping. So and I get emailed it as well. So even if I do manage to swipe it away without looking, when I open my email, there's 500 Rand, 1,000 Rand.
So you're paying 500 bucks for a meal for one?
500 Rand became just in Australia standard. That is just a normal meal. Then if you go to a slightly... through a restaurant,
slightly
maybe
Lani.
Not yeah. even Lani, just like a slightly
like
nicer
a spur.
Place. That's not a fast food.
Yeah.
Then it's 750. Then my wife came to visit, standard 1,500 Rand for the Jeez. Two
so
of
she,
us.
So she finished you off basically.
Jeez, yeah. She was the nail in the coffin. But when I was there, so I was in Australia, then I went to London, and then the Rand to the pound was 23. That's the most it's been in my travels ever.
Yeah.
And then from there, it went to 24 because then the whole thing came out of like, we are supplying arms to Russia. And now people, now it's not only that you're cocking off financially, but also now people hear you, South African people you meet over there.
Yes.
And they read the news, they now see this controversy and they're like, oh, that's disgusting what your country's doing, supplying arms to Russia. And I'm like, guys, you don't understand. Us back home, we just like fuck added to the list, you know? Like there's so much stuff that goes on. Supplying arms to Russia, it's just like another thing we're doing.
We have a shopping list here.
Yeah, also like we don't know if Putin is giving us electricity in return, we're not that upset about it, you know? Like,
but he's not, because we still don't have electricity.
Exactly. So, I mean, if it was swapping a Uzi for a kilowatt, it would be a different story, but... But we still don't know what was in those boxes. I saw someone saying they're going to open the box expecting guns, and this is going to be all the copies of Jacob Zuma's book that he couldn't sell. It would be weird if it would be too almost on it.
Yeah.
If the boxes get there and there's like perfect great weapons in there.
Yes, yes.
That
yes.
would be not on brand for South Africa. It would be like, oh, okay, cool. Here's a bunch of guns, but the magazine is what do you call it? The thing that
has the clip, the magazine.
The clip. The clips. Oh, sorry. And they phone. Where's the clip?
Where's the clip? We forgot the clip.
We forgot the clip. Sorry, it's in Rustenburg.
Come on, where are the clips?
It's in Rustenburg. Sorry, guys. Can we go pick it up? No, we don't.
You would still fuck it up anyway.
I think so. That's why, even if we did send guns, they're not going to work, guys. They're not going to work. They're not going to be able to do anything with those things. It would be weird if it did work. That's what I'm saying.
So you were telling us earlier on about how, the shows you did in Australia and in England, after your show, you have a bit of wine, you have a bit of McDonald's or whatever it is you have.
Yeah.
But you also have your own wine.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
That was also sort of a lockdown thing, and it was just for fun. Actually,
so were you tired of pineapple beer and alcohol?
Yeah, well, it actually kind of saved me in the lockdown because my wine ran out, and then these people had sent me wine from a wine farm in Paul before lockdown and got stuck at Postnet. Then level 4 opened. Postnet opened, but alcohol was still illegal, but they didn't realize it was wine, so they gave me the box. As I got the box, I was like, okay, act act calm.
Yeah.
Act calm. This is wine. This is wine. And then there was the most stressful 3 kilometer drive of my life.
Who's following me?
Like, freaking from Postnet to my house. But then when I got there, I was like, oh. And then it was the most delicious wine. And I phoned the winemaker. His number was on there. And I said, dude, I'm phoning just to say, your wine's amazing. I've never heard of you guys. And then I said, I've always wanted my own wine, but I've never known when to start. And he's like, it's easy, man. I put something together, I hoy a label on it, and we put it out. And he sent me like 2 label-less bottles of like sort of samples, and sure. I tasted it. I gave some notes, said, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. And then the next one was perfect. And then we slapped a label on it. We started selling it online, and it's still going.
Wine drinkers are generally pretentious, or they seem pretentious to me. So, you know, you talk about they sent you 2 bottles that were not labeled, and then you send some notes. What fucking notes did you send back?
Well, this was very frustrating.
Like, it's got notes of toe jam. Like, what? What are you sending back?
No, so it was frustrating for him because I don't have the lingo either.
Hence, I'm asking. I'm actually curious.
So I'm saying, no, it's not serious enough.
Yes.
It's not serious. And then he's like, but what? Describe to me. I was like, I don't know. It needs to be. What I kept saying, it needs to be a winter next to the fire red wine.
Uh-huh.
That's what I want. This is a fruity. In this December, this is a sangria.
It's too Mediterranean.
Yeah, and yes. So I kept saying like wood, but now I'm wood and serious, wood and serious. And I don't know tannins and cock like that. But also I made the wine. I didn't want it to be pretentious. So yes. On the back, I wrote the little description and it says, with subtle notes of grapes and alcohol.
Yes.
And that's all you need to know about
zero pretense.
About the wine. Because wine for me, like sometimes I don't drink wine from a wine glass. Like all the wine glasses in the house is dirty, and then I drink wine from a coffee mug. Like it should be some. If you drink it straight from the bottle, that's also fine. Wine should just be however you want to drink it. That is good.
Okay, so if it's the enamel cup that's left, that's what you drink your wine from.
I
might just start drinking wine.
If you enjoy wine, yeah. Then however you are doing it. You are doing it right. Even if you're drinking like a puppy from your from your hands, that is fine. If you're enjoying it, that is you enjoying
wine. I think I like you. Where do we find your wine if we want to support your wine business?
You can go to the link in my bio on Instagram and Facebook, and there's a little button there that says wine, and you order it online, and it comes to your
house. What's it called?
Feeling Good, Feeling Positive, Pinotage.
Why don't you put your name on there, or is that too cliche?
Yeah, I think it is.
A skulky, like, wine.
Yeah, I think my name is on there somewhere, but on the back in small print.
Like a signature, like cursive.
Yeah, but I wanted it just to, that's what wine is supposed to do. It's supposed to make you feel good and positive. If it makes you feel angry and negative, then you probably should stay away from it.
I grew up with friends from across the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I noticed about my white friends is y'all play crazy games and you dare each other to do shit that, like, black folk don't do that.
Okay.
You know, this week I was reading a story about a kid from the U.S. on a Caribbean cruise. I think his name is Cameron Robbins.
Okay.
18 years old, his friends dared him to jump overboard. It's a cruise ship.
Off the cruise?
It's a cruise
ship. I mean, we've been on a cruise together, Fred.
We went on a ship together.
Those ships are massive.
It's 13 stories.
That's like jumping off a building.
It's 13 basically. Stories of ship. This kid was dared to jump overboard. He jumps overboard. There's footage of him swimming in the water. And these other kids are yelling. And then he disappears. They haven't found him.
Shit.
And they're presuming him dead. Because, like, where could he be? It's not like he's with SpongeBob chilling somewhere. But why do you guys do such, like, fucked up dares, though?
Jackass.
Oh, is that what it is?
It all started with Jackass. Because that was me growing up. Like, you watch Jackass.
In Kempton Park.
And then there was also, in Kempton Park, and then there was Food Skating 101 was sort of, they didn't really do the hurting themselves thing, but there was even an Afrikaans ripoff of Jackass called Off.
Ah, yes.
Do you remember it? It was an MK9.
I remember it very well. My Afrikaans is so good. I watched it all the time.
And on Off, I must take my hat off to the guys because the things they did, it wasn't like a Jackass light.
Mm.
They also They went in, they hurt themselves, they ate disgusting things. There was this guy called Dinman, he would eat like, they would put the most disgusting things together for him to eat. But anyway, that created this culture, I guess, because you could say MTV, Jackass maybe had like more of a wide viewership, I think. I don't know if that's fair to say. But anyway, and that just created this culture of like, it's cool to do like crazy shit and to get hurt.
Mm.
Me and my friend tried to do off at school, I remember. Like he would be like, I dare you to tackle this chair. And then I'd be like, okay. And then I'd sort of like lightly hug the chair and fall over. It's just not in my personality to do stuff like that. And I'm also not the type of person that wants to go hunt, shoot the buck, eat the balas, have blood smear all over my... I don't like cock like that.
So you're not fully white then, surely?
Maybe then I'm
Your white likes. You know?
Then I'll happily take that label if that's what it means. But I don't like getting hurt and doing stuff like that. I don't like extreme things.
You are generally that guy, though, that yes, you're an Afrikaans dude, but you're not like an oak.
Yeah.
How did you deal with the expectation of you to be an oak? To be this tough dude?
Well, in school, I was sort of like the culture kid. I mean, they're always so there.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're not getting the girls and you're not getting invited to the paintball birthday parties.
Yeah.
Those are the ones you wanted to get into. But secretly, I was happy because, like I said, I don't like getting hurt anyway. So I didn't want to be at the paintball. I'm like, why can't we just go ice skating, guys? Why always with the pain? Let's go watch a movie.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I was by no means the cool guy in school, but then comedy... You know, even when I was in high school, very quickly started becoming, especially like Trevor Noah then like exploded when I got into high school. Then comedy became the new rock and roll.
Yeah.
And
now you're a rock star.
And I started doing comedy. Well, my tech writer backstage is just like, just some wine. They're like, what wine? Just a bottle of red wine, whatever suits your budget.
Whatever you like.
Yeah. I should at least make it like a bottle of red wine of minimum 200 rand just to make it a little bit more, just a little bit more nicer. But I'm just like, oh, you know, any red is cool with me.
Whatever makes you happy.
But anyway, then I started doing these like little stand-up skits in front of the school where I was doing the news, but of the school. I was doing the What a Week, but of the school.
Okay.
So it included...
So did you Rian Krewach in it?
Yeah, it was sort of like a newsreader, but it was essentially stand-up comedy, and it was like, who's the new couples?
So you did know? It in front of the class?
Yeah.
No, so, the whole school at assembly?
Yeah, at assembly. So on a Friday, assembly was always kind of like more...
Lighthearted.
More lighthearted, and there was more like if someone needed to advertise the Valentine's ball.
Less then, churchy.
Yes.
But the rest of it was churchy.
Yeah, there was still church, but it was also even a more lighthearted church. They would get the fun pastor... from the more charismatic church.
Oh, yes.
It was actually another guy who started it, and then he left school, and then he handed it over to me. So I would do it there. And then suddenly I became cool because, you know, you're
making the girls laugh.
You're making the girls laugh. And also the guy that can beat you up, I mean, what's more powerful? He can punch you, but you can, like, embarrass him in front of the whole school, and that's almost, like, more powerful. Then I also learned the power of words because I don't want to hurt people with my comedy. And the one time... didn't really mean to, but I made this girl cry. After assembly, she cried and she phoned her mom. She went home.
Jeez.
And I felt, because of a joke that I made about her.
Yeah.
And I felt really terrible about it. And I was like, yo, this is not what I want to do with my comedy. It wasn't my intention. And even now, my comedy, it's supposed to just bring joy. I'm not out to offend people. And often you do. It's inevitable. Mm-hmm. But then... I always want to, like, if I see someone, it's happened once or twice, someone walks out of my show, I always want to, like, find that person afterwards.
It's like, what did I do wrong?
And be like, dude, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to, shit, you know, can I buy you a drink? I'm sorry that you took that like that.
Have you ever been tempted, though, to, because in your head the gag makes sense, offensive, that you want to do it anyway? Or do you literally gatekeep yourself and censor yourself? At that level, that this is going to hurt someone, so I'm not going to do it.
Yes, even if I think it's hilarious, I will still tell my friends.
Yeah. Also, you keep it within the WhatsApp group.
Yeah, I'll still tell them. Listen, I thought of this hilarious joke. I would never do it on stage because it's hurtful, but just it is a good joke.
Yeah.
No, but if I think of a joke and I feel like this is really going to hurt someone's feelings, I won't.
So you're a nice guy, man.
I am a nice guy. The thing is, also when you're young, though, because especially like more offensive comedy was really the trend when I started out, I guess inevitably just when I wanted being, I just wanted to be edgy and,
sure.
and but you still can be the nice guy and be edgy.
Mm-hmm.
But I did do, I guess there are some jokes that I regret, but and they weren't super offensive. They sure. were just a bit like, I guess, childish. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking like, oh, that actually wasn't nice. And I'm talking about like, sometimes you talk to people in the audience and you like make fun of this person.
Rag them, yeah.
And then you, afterwards I'd be like, or years afterwards I'd be like, yeah, that actually wasn't so nice. But yeah, comes with maturity, I guess, as well.
I remember when I was 11, 12 years old, this was in the 80s. There was a theater and education group that came to a high school and they did a play.
You threw them with a condom.
No, I hadn't started yet. It was like 5 years later. But anyway, they did a play about cholera.
Yeah.
They were from Zim. And I think, you know, at social studies, we learned a lot about, you know, what are the malnutrition diseases back then? What are they? Kwashioko, marasmus, and cholera. There was a play about cholera. It's 2023. Why are we still dealing with cholera?
Yeah, I just blame load shedding for everything. It's just the easiest. The potholes in my road, load shedding. It's load shedding.
Yeah.
Because the lights, the street lights don't work, so the guys can't come fix it at night. And they can't fix it in the day because the cars are driving here.
So they can't see what needs to be done.
Yeah, exactly.
Load shedding.
So, yeah, load shedding. I mean, but I think load shedding would have an effect on cleanliness of water because there's pumps and stuff that needs to filter it. And I don't know how it works, but I'm sure load shedding. And I saw a thing of like people suing Eskom because a kid in hospital died because they couldn't.
The machine
couldn't work. And now they're going, well, it's direct effect of load shedding.
Mm-hmm.
And because the load shedding was so frequent, there was generators and inverters and whatever, but that stuff couldn't charge enough to keep going through the next stage of load shedding. So yeah, load shedding's the source of everything right
now. I was reading a story, in fact, it was tweets from a lady saying, I don't know if it's the nephew, needs a nebulizer every day because of whatever chest condition they had. And she tweeted a week or two later that, oh, we've lost him.
Yeah.
Because there was no power. That is fucking insane.
And you can't be carrying around a nebulizer and a diesel generator at the same time, you know, because the only way to battle load shedding is a diesel generator. And those things are huge. You can't be carrying it around with you. So, no, it is hopeless. When I was coming back from overseas, people were like, yo, get ready.
Yeah.
The load shedding, it's the worst it's ever been. And I'm like, yo. But, you know, I must also admit, and I'm not trying to be like Mr. Positive. I'm not trying to like stay on brand with what I did in COVID. But it's good to be back in South Africa, even with all the...
Would you relocate, though?
Definitely not at the moment. Look, I'm not going to lie. If it became like I'm working overseas for 8 months of the year, it just physically wouldn't make sense to stay here.
So you'd relocate for career, not because you're hurtful.
No, yeah, exactly. If it became, because it was the same reason that I moved from Cape Town to Joburg, it's like I was never at home in Cape Town. Yes. My flat was just, every time I came, there was like a thick layer of dust on everything because I would go for a week, come back for a night, go for 2 weeks, come back for two nights. Eventually, it's like, it doesn't make sense to live here anymore. So if it became like that I was working so much overseas, I mean, like Trevor, he didn't leave because he was hurtful.
Sure.
I don't think, at least.
He had an opportunity and he took it.
It was like it only made sense for him to move to America.
Sure.
You know, so if my situation had to change like that, I would.
Yes,
I would. But I mean, like with the first day I got back, man, it's just stuff in South Africa that makes you smile. Like, for example, I know we're talking about load shedding now and it's a big problem, but like South Africa is the only place where like the robots go out because of load shedding. The guy who was begging there 2 seconds ago jumps into the middle of the road, starts directing traffic, and everyone just goes with it. Everyone's like, yo, fuck, I trust this guy with my life. Why not? Let's go.
Isn't that the wildest, though?
And the thing is, the thing is, that guy, he had with him, like in his pocket, a high-vis vest.
Yeah.
So as soon as the things, he put on his high-vis vest, starts directing traffic, and everyone's like, okay.
He's the guy.
No one's going, sir, I don't know if you are qualified to... to be, we're trusting you with our lives here. If you create a massive head-on collision, but everyone just goes with it. He goes, go, stop.
You won't see it in any other country.
You won't.
It is incredible.
No, like in London, if the robots did go out and a homeless guy started directing traffic, I mean, that the police would be on that.
I was going to say, he'd be arrested in like a minute.
Yeah.
One for jaywalking.
one for being in traffic.
What are you doing in traffic, sir? Anyway, you've got a show tonight and a show tomorrow out of the country. Where can people catch you on stage?
I'm in Durban at the Oyster Box tonight. They've got a lovely comedy and curry evening there.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the show in my wedding suit because I got married at the Oyster Box in December.
Jeez, okay.
So I'm going back, going to wear my suit.
How could you afford to live there or stay there?
It was included in the...
Oh, was it part of the deal?
Of the deal.
I can't afford it.
If you book the venue.
Yeah.
And then Namibia, Windhoek, at the Windhoek Country Club.
So that's tomorrow Saturday?
Tomorrow Saturday, yeah. Yeah.
The show you're doing in Durban versus the show you're going to do in Namibia, do we get the same show or do you tweak it a bit?
I always like to bring something in of where I am.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, there will always be... I always say the show is about like 80% the same and then I always leave 20-25% to...
Room to play.
Room to play and also just to do crowd work with people in the audience because that's what people remember the most about the show. They don't remember your best gag, which you've carefully written and rehearsed.
Mm.
Often when I speak to people, I go, I was in the show with Jared.
Yes.
And I go, who's Jared? And they go, remember Jared? He was 17 and he said he wanted to be a pilot. And then you made the joke. And then I actually do remember this. And I go, oh, yes, I remember now.
He's the guy that left crying because I ragged him.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You've got a brand new podcast coming up.
It's season one is out already on Spotify.
Okay, so what can you look forward to there? What is it called? And who should watch it?
I need to interview you for that, by the way.
I'm ready.
It is called Your Mom with Skulk.
Okay.
So I decided to, instead of interviewing celebs, interview their mother.
Okay.
So I basically get an insight to the celeb, but through a different perspective.
Through the mother.
And you would, for example, if it's you and your mom, you would still sit in on the interview.
So I can just kick her on the side and say, Mom.
But the idea is that, like, you... shush, because this is your mom's time to shine. No one ever speaks to her.
Yes.
This is her time to speak
about
you.
Yes.
You are there more for fact-checking.
Yeah.
Maybe you can say, like, Mom, no, that didn't happen
and
quite
for,
like
for denials.
That. For denials.
Right of reply.
and laughter and being embarrassed and all the lack of things. But, you know,
So who's in season one?
Like Matthew Moll and his mom, Chad Leclos and his mom, Pierre, who's the lead singer of Dievels Fantasties, and his mom.
Awesome band.
Yeah, and a bunch of great people. Ryan Sandys, he's like a famous trail runner, like a world champion trail runner, and his mom. And it's all, very good. And so Jack Barrow and his mom.
So am I being invited
episode.
As the affirmative action guest? Or asking for a friend?
Yes. Yes. I thought back to season one now and I thought, no, okay, you're right.
Season two, when do you start shooting that? When can we expect it?
We already got one or two episodes in the bank.
Okay.
And we're just waiting for our wonderful sponsors, We Buy Cars, to call us.
whether you're selling a car, a caravan, a bike, or a boat, We Buy Cars with Skulk.
Donkey.
You're welcome, brother. 5% when they sign.
Yes, please.
Where do we find you on social media, sir?
Skulky Bears on Instagram, Skulk Beside It on Facebook. Very easy.
Yep.
You can go look for TikTok, but I mean, I don't even know how that works. I just hoist something on there every now and then.
And then you leave it.
I swear, every time I advertise a show on TikTok, I see zero movement in ticket sales. Until I put it, I don't know, maybe it's just kids who don't have money.
Maybe on TikTok, you should be talking about the show, but turn it into a challenge. Maybe dance a bit, break an egg. You need to do something more than just say, come to my show.
I was bullied enough in school. I don't need to be dancing on TikTok.
Brother man, thank you so much for hanging out with us on Wild What a Week.
Thanks, Mitch.
I've been a fan for years. And,
thank you, dude.
It's always an honor and a privilege hanging out with you, brother man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
So we'll see you on the flip side.
Donkey.
He's not leaving the country unless it's for Korea, so don't stress. We aren't losing Skalk Poseidon Hot anytime soon. This week...
Thanks.
Skalk, don't leave. This week has seen the passing of an international music legend, Tina Turner, and a local broadcasting icon, Eusebius MacKaiser. There are many lessons to be learned from both legacies. So to paraphrase someone else, we'll just say, we don't need another hero. What we need are more people like Tina Turner and Eusebius MacKaiser. Thanks a lot and have a wow week ahead. Shout out to Amp Studios for hanging out with us. The Africa Podcast Network that is welcoming Skalk Poseidon Hot to the family. Welcome to the family.
Thank you.
Pezulu works for the cinematography audio engineer Otis the Flo Fraser. And our guests today, Skalk Poseidon Hot, Naledi Malela, and actor Kwenzo Kuhle Ngobo. Creative director Kuvesh Mohan and show producer Keletso Modisakeng. You can email waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Have a great week in spite of yourselves. We're out of here.
What a week. What a week. This kid.
Yeah.
Really kicks.
Welcome back to Wow, What a Week. We celebrate kids, youngsters, youth under the age of 35 that we think kick ass. Have you ever wanted to share your knowledge with the world? You know, maybe help people look and feel better. But then you also discover that you can do that by stuffing yourself with delicious dishes all on camera. No? Okay, I thought it was just me. Well, our next guest discovered and shares all of that online. Please give a wow welcome to Naledi. How does she eat so much and not look fat like I do? Malela.
Hi, how are you?
Naledi M, how are you doing? What's up, dog?
You know, I'm actually so excited to be on your podcast on YouTube. I'm actually really excited. How do you find the transition of being on our platform now?
Who's interviewing who, Kanti?
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's a good point.
Like, what is this? Like YouTubers want to just control the space.
We're taking...
We're squeezing in, man. Huh?
I'm really happy to be here.
In fact, my argument right now is I don't do a podcast. I do a YouTube show that we happen to podcast.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
So this is more a YouTube show than it is a podcast. But because podcasting is an option, we share it as a podcast.
As a podcast.
Yes.
No, that's amazing. I was very shocked when I found out, when I got the invite, I was like, hey, DJ Fresh wants to sit down. I'm like, DJ Fresh, me?
Yes.
They're like, you're on the YouTube. I'm like, on my YouTube?
Yes.
As in on YouTube?
Like, I've been here for almost 10 years. Like, what are these people doing here?
I mean, really, guys, who let these people in?
In fact, as an early adopter,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you sometimes feel territorial about your space?
Of course. I mean, back in our time, yes. When I was young, I'm still part of the youth.
Back in my day.
I wanted to be on radio.
Yes.
So I would see you,
You're in grade 11 and you told your dad you want to be on radio and go to Boston Media House and do media studies like I did.
Yeah.
And your dad told you, get the fuck out of here.
Oh, no, definitely. My dad, my principal, mini story time, I was sitting down. They were like to me, it's time for you to choose your career,
yes.
Right? What do you want to do? I'm like, no, I'm thinking of radio. I want to go to Boston, you know, DJ Fresh. They've come up with this fresh new idea.
Yes.
But I was like, but that's great.
Okay, that's on weekends. What do you want to do midweek?
Exactly. You're going to go to a university. Which one? So it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny where it is now. It feels like it's come full circle to
sure.
sit with you.
Yeah.
What I want is your job.
Speaking of dad, you moved in with dad after mom passed away.
Yes.
How old were you when mom passed away?
I was 15.
Okay, so pretty much... Your first 15 years was not necessarily with a relationship with your dad.
Yes.
How awkward was it jumping into this relationship? Because that's what it is then. You're starting from scratch, but you're 15.
No, definitely. Because I won't lie and say my dad wasn't present.
Yes.
I would see him on weekends. But, sure. You know, growing up with your mom and feeling like you don't
primary
really know
caregiver. Primary caregiver is
exactly.
mom.
Exactly.
Yes.
Stepping into a house with a man who was exactly like me because sure. he's a Scorpio, I'm a Scorpio. So very stubborn.
Sure.
it was like a change of scenery. Jeez. It's like, I couldn't stand this man. We'd have so many fights, but I think one of the things I took away from him was that I am so much like him.
Sure.
I'm so competitive. You know, he always wanted me to be the best in the room. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where my work ethic comes from, you know?
How long did it take before the conversation stopped being awkward? Because when you start moving in with someone, it might feel awkward initially.
Of course.
But you warm up to one another. When did you realize that I'm at home here now?
I realized that when I started making money. So we can say around 24 years. Like, he's still my dad and I still have to obey what he says.
Yes.
But my dad is very jovial. So at some point, the relationship built. But it was a slow, gradual buildup.
Sure.
Because I wasn't the easiest child to deal with. You know?
In fact, I'm told you're rebellious. How bad were you?
Oh, my goodness. I was so bad. I was one of those kids that say, no, why? You can't go over there. Why not? You went over there, so what do you know that I don't know? I want to learn too. What's going on here?
And I can always leave via my window at 2 a.m. when you're sleeping.
Oh, yes. I would wait for my grandmother to fall asleep and I would jump the gate. And then I knew that she wakes up around 5. So I'd come back at 4:30. I'd have my boyfriend drop me off and go, Tamaya.
Yeah.
So I was definitely quite rebellious.
You should have done like some of the girls back in my day.
Oh.
They'd always make sure they leave the sweeping thing outside in the yard.
Okay.
So when they are sneaking back in, just in case grandma is awake, she finds you sweeping outside. She doesn't know that you were out the whole night.
No, guys, there's nothing to sweep. And at my dad's house, there's no sneaking out. There's cameras everywhere. Sure. So it's one of those things where sneaking out could only be done collegationing, where I grew up, my mom's house, actually. Sure. But with my dad, there was none of that.
Looking at your career, you know, you've got an MBA,
yes.
You're educated. Yes, the corporate space wasn't necessarily your best friend. But, you know, you are growing into yourself as a woman.
Yes, definitely.
If Ma was still alive, how would she see her big girl right now?
I think she would be so happy and so proud.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the time when you feel like the world's stacked up against you and everyone expects you to fail,
yes,
and you kind of transcend over that and you become this person that no one expected you to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's in the heavens, like smiling. She's probably going, that's my kid.
Sure.
You know, like,
yes,
graduation. I really wish she was here, but I know that she's definitely looking down over me and she's really proud.
So she's definitely ululating up there.
Oh no, she's ululating.
On some hashtag Machozi 101.
I mean, mama, kia oship li DJ Fresh, pela baton.
In fact, we'll talk about Oship a little later.
No.
You often lament the fact that you feel social media gets toxic.
Oh my goodness.
And the other week you were in a lot of toxic trending. you want to talk about that?
Oh my goodness. You know what? Let's talk about it. It is on YouTube anyway.
Sure.
So social media does get toxic.
Yeah.
I think a little bit about me is that I am very outspoken.
Mm.
I say what's on my mind. And I definitely don't stand for any disrespect.
Sure.
So it comes at the cost of me being this very kind of, you know, reactive, very aggressive. Because some people were kind of trained with social media to, oh, when you see the bad blood, just keep quiet, you know?
Let it
die down.
Give it 3 days.
Exactly. It'll something else will come.
Yeah.
But the problem with doing something like that is that you allow people to control a narrative of you, whether true or not.
Yes.
And for me...
And there's zero versions from you out there then.
I mean, you know better than anyone what it's like for people to just run with a narrative and
absolutely
the villain that you really aren't.
Exactly.
So it was a difficult time because this was something I thought had died down.
Mm.
Yahoo, like, I know, okay, guys, let me break my silence.
So what is the story?
Okay. Javier. So here's the story.
Yeah.
The story is that me and another... blogger.
Sure.
We were having, well, we didn't really have an argument, but we, Black Coffee, these DJs, was hosting a very big event at Zone 6. And obviously, I went there. And because I know a lot of the guys at Zone 6, I obviously organized the section.
Sure.
One of my other friends from Durban was coming through and he was like, hey, Naledi, I don't know anybody there. I'm like, I'm a girl from the South. I can make things happen.
I got this.
So the section was obviously under my name and the guys came through. And then this other blogger and her friends came. But obviously in our industry, you know that as girls, we are territorial. You know, some people don't like each other. I'm pretty sure you have some DJs you don't get along with.
Not really, to be the honest truth. If anyone doesn't get along with me, it's the issue. But I don't I don't have any burnt bridges yet.
Yet?
Yeah, no.
Oh my gosh, I have no bridge left to burn. Everything is it's a mess.
But you see, when you've burnt every bridge, you're forced to build up. True. So you're in a skyscraper, you're fine, don't stress.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess the moral of the story is that she was under this assumption that, you know, what she was smoking was the other guy's and not mine.
Sure.
And they kind of started calling me out of my name, yada, yada, yada. And I obviously had them kicked out the station. Yeah. But the moral of the story is that we tried to kind of mend bridges on social media, and then it was brought back up a week ago from a different narrative, from a narrative of Naledi is the aggressor. Got not on my name, guys. I'm guys, you know, building this brand and still feeling like you have to humble yourself and be quiet was something I was not going to not have. So I had to tell my truth. And besides, you know, you get a little bit of AdSense out of it.
And then there was another story about you and someone sharing a man or something.
Ooh. You know what, guys? Is Johannesburg too small?
It is, sadly. And unfortunately, too few people drink from the same pond, if you know what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you've got one person drinking in your pond?
I hope so. And I hope I'm the only one.
No, that's fair. Yeah, no, I dated a bit of a very, you know, outspoken guy. Mm-hmm. And he definitely had his fair share of being a Casanova.
Sure.
So I guess one of the things that burnt me back in the past was that I would make friends with people who actually wanted to date him because, you know, cash is king, I guess, in Johannesburg.
Mm.
But it was a great learning curve that, you know, you can't really trust men. And that is the moral of the story.
Jesus, all on us.
Yeah, definitely.
You retrace almost.
But yeah.
So when storms come at you, storms like that, whatever the storms are, whether it's a rumor or a truma. Jeez, did I just use the word truma?
You definitely did.
But anyway, like, what gets you through that shit when it's happening?
Ooh, I think one of the...
Because you're also a praying girl. No?
No. I pray. I mean, I went to a Catholic school for 13 years, okay? So we've been praying every single day twice on Fridays.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things I do is I have a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing people don't know about me.
Sure.
I get super anxious when I see my name trending.
You are clever then. So you figured if I feel better when I eat, because I suffer anxiety, if I put a camera on it, I can get people to watch me eat.
Honestly.
And I deal with my anxiety.
Oh.
You're a genius.
I love my job.
I have figured you out.
You know, I think it's a little bit of insanity that I love the fact that I can sit in a room and laugh by myself and then post it on YouTube and then 160,000 people can laugh with me.
Yeah.
For me, the anxiety, I love my job because I'm like an extroverted introvert.
Sure.
I can be around people, I can be around TJ Fresh, act like he's been my friend for 5 years. But then when I leave this door, I'm going to go, there's my neck. Wow. You know, so it's a way of kind of a functional, what do they call it? Like this functional dysfunctionism. You found a way to combat dealing with the outsiders, the naysayers.
Yes, yes, yes. Or the awkwardness of having to be with people.
Exactly.
Because a lot of us are socially awkward, but not necessarily willing to admit it.
Yes.
And it's only when you're in your own space alone that you're like, geez, I'm glad that is over.
Yes. I mean, I can only imagine what you go through every time you must go into a crowd full of people and everyone just wants to grab you.
I hate the spotlight, to tell you the honest truth. I hate the spotlight. I hate attention. One of my biggest fears is speaking in public. But
really?
Here I am 30 years later.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is...
It's just because my passion needs me to be within the space.
Yes.
Who's interviewing who here? Because my passion is within the space, one of the unintended consequences is you get fans and those that don't like you and you get attention and.
Mm.
If I could do this anonymously, I would.
You would?
I don't like attention.
We'd be able to pick it up in your voice. Like, I don't think there was anything you could do. Like...
But you wouldn't if I started anonymously.
your voice is literally your selling point. You could go, hey guys, and we're like, yep, that's him, that's him.
I could speak like this and rob a bank.
We'll still hear you.
This is a stick up.
No, I wish someone when I was younger could have told me that.
Yep.
Because we have this preconceived notion like, oh my gosh, I want to be in radio. And if it's going to listen to me, it's going to be roses and daisies. But what they don't tell you is the downside of it. Like the one thing I experienced is that people would say I'm loud. Like,
sure.
She's so loud.
She's brash.
Beyond that space.
She's so black.
Yeah, she's yeah. so, hey, man,
Warasa.
And it's like a shock to the system because you're just like, hey, bro. I never actually thought about the downside of what I want to do.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess I just deal with it the best way I can.
For those that have no idea, what is mukbang?
So a mukbang is essentially a YouTube trend where, and it's very big in the Asian community and in the American community, where people just sit and enjoy people eating. Now, a mukbang is kind of like an offtake from ASMR. ASMR is audio sensory meditation.
Yeah, that one.
That's what Google it.
Yeah.
Right. So under that is a mukbang. And that's when you watch someone eat, because those sounds, like even now when you've got...
So it's eating, but it's microphoned eating.
Exactly. So they have these really
sensitive,
expensive mics, yes, like yours. And if I just start going... Some people find that so relaxing.
So I DJ with a band and we're always on the road.
Oh, really?
And my keyboard player... We could be driving for 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
For 5 hours, we have a Wi-Fi in our little bus. For 5 hours, he's just watching people eating. For 5 hours.
Oh my goodness.
Some Asian channel that he watches.
Yes.
He'll watch this guy eat a pig and then he's eating this. And he's, for 5 hours, he's watching people eat. Like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, he enjoys it.
There is something so calming about watching people eat. Now, I started watching people eat a while ago. I suffer from insomnia, so it would help me sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then the American community did the seafood boil.
Yes.
And I went on a hunt for a seafood boil.
Oh, so what is a seafood boil?
A seafood boil is this American concept that consists of lobster,
yes,
crayfish, and whatever they have in their prawns, and they put in this little seafood boil, garlic butter sauce with sausages. And I was like, I need to try this.
Yeah.
And then I went on a hunt until I found it from an Instagram page. Okay. And I started eating it. And I swear, the business that I found, they did so well, they ended up being on radio. I don't even know if at some point
where did you find it? Where did you find it?
I found it on Instagram, and I DM'd them and I said, hey guys.
So where do we find a seafood boil?
So there's a brand called Dash Kitchen. I don't know if they're still operating, but they're the brand that I found.
Yeah.
And after that, I think for the next 2 years,
yeah,
they took off so much that I couldn't even order a seafood boil without waiting 3 business working days.
So you fucked up your own sauce.
Basically. That's the first and the last time I put you guys on.
So the first time you put a camera on yourself eating,
mm-hmm,
what are you thinking as you're uploading this video?
I'm thinking, this is going to be good.
So you had a good feeling about it?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Because I knew that the people who like watching other people eat,
yeah,
they were going to take away something. YouTube is a platform to be anything that you want to be.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, obviously we're bombarded with podcasts right now.
We apologize.
Yeah, guys, get that. But I think for me, when I did the seafood boil, I wasn't even thinking of the South African community. Sure. I was thinking of, oh, the Asians are going to find me. Oh, they're going to think I'm
folk in Mississippi where seafood is big, we're going to see you.
And I would do it with, yes, story time. So I'd combine it for the people who had issues with the sound.
Oh, yes.
And then it took off. I mean, I got a lot of negative responses from South Africans, but after some time, boom, took off.
How often is it that people that criticize, it's because they don't get it?
Yes.
Or
that's
they don't understand.
Always how it begins.
Or they'll tell you, we're in a country of poverty. Why are you filming yourself eating,
exactly,
for instance?
No. I've noticed that a lot of the things that I've started on YouTube, not to say that I'm a pioneer, because I also got the idea from someone else.
Yes.
But I've noticed that a lot of the things that I would start, such as a seafood boil, some people feel like, ugh, I don't know. But then now, if you type in South African YouTuber mukbang,
yes,
you're most likely to see a lot of seafood boil videos. And then I coupled it with the story time.
Yeah.
And then I was like...
So what is story time for those that don't know?
It's telling stories about your life.
Ah.
It's going onto YouTube and saying, hey guys, welcome to my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
This is what my ex did to me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I give them aliases.
What is your biggest story time video right now?
Where... There's so many, but
I'm asking for a friend.
There's so many, but I think the most popular one is when I took my ex's car and I left him at Rockets.
Okay, so what, did you film all of that?
Oh, I definitely did.
Okay, so he's at Rockets, and then what did you...
He went with me.
Okay.
And then this other girl started making a move on him.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, and he was like, but I'm not doing anything. And I'm like, okay, but why don't you tell her to stop?
Yes.
And then I kind of got very, okay, well, if you want to keep doing this in front of me, I'm going to leave. And he's like, I bet. I'm like, oh. What did this man say to me? He said I must leave?
Yeah.
So now his house keys were in the car.
Okay.
So he gave me the car keys and said, go take the house keys and get out of here because you're acting, yes, you're acting like a fool.
Sure.
As soon as I got in the car.
But why do we do that as guys, though?
Why do you
Like, a girl is overly friendly towards us as a guy, and we're kind of okay with it. But the minute a guy is friendly with you, we fucking lose it.
Then the big dog voice comes up. Like, then the, I don't like what you're doing, Nelly. Like,
gents, why do we do that, though? Anyway,
no,
story for another day.
No, definitely. And the story time element for me, I think, is my most popular segment.
So where did you start filming?
I started filming in 2000.
No. That's story time, leaving Rockets and the boy. Did you start filming from the car?
No. So what I do is, these are all elements of stories that happened years ago.
Oh, so you're just
retelling
the story. Oh, so you didn't film the incident.
No, I'm just retelling the story.
On the N1 and I'm still pissed off. Oh, so it's not that. Okay.
No, it's nothing like that. It's just let's relive these funny moments.
Yes.
And then people liked it so much they wanted to tell me their stories. So I started a new segment called Confession Session.
Yes.
So you can confess something.
I will think about it and I will get. My people will get in touch with your people and I'll submit my confession.
Perfect. Be waiting.
And then when it comes to the mukbang as a trend, how do we fare against the rest of the world?
I think...
Do people enjoy watching us eat? Or are the Asians leading?
No. People do. I've realized that my fan base of people who are international is growing significantly because I try to change it a lot. I use a lot of my lingo. I speak in Sotho, you know. I try not to limit the fact that we should speak in English because it's a universal language. I keep at English, but I really kind of bring it home.
Sure.
And there's something about...
So you're watching a South African girl having a meal on camera.
Ooh, I have mokgodu. I've tried different types of foods from different countries.
Yeah.
I think for me, I just really stick to my true self, my core. And that's me. And it's funny because some South Africans don't like my persona, but people overseas enjoy my persona. So it's the irony. It's kind of like a double-edged sword.
Maybe because, you know, like I said, we almost have a discomfort with, especially black women who are expressive.
Yes.
Black women that are not afraid to say, no, get the fuck out of here. I'm not going to do that.
Yes.
You know, and unfortunately, it's a problem we need to deal with, because until we stop rendering black girls and black women invisible the way we do.
Yes.
I mean, I always argue about how on the hierarchy of visibility, right at the bottom is a black girl.
Of course.
Followed by a black woman.
Of course. And
the minute you're out there, it's like, what are you doing? Wap, hap.
Fresh. I think, honestly, for me, the something that I didn't realize was traumatic for me is that I was branded as Wanyana Opapang.
Yes.
You know, like, you speak too much. Women should be seen. And
you're too loud.
You're too loud. Yes. You
tone,
can never...
Tone it down.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, how can you be thriving in these spaces when you don't really know how to conduct yourself?
Yes.
Them being expressive is associated with, like, not conducting yourself in a proper way.
Sure.
And the whole premise of my YouTube channel was to say that you can be loud and funny and expressive and you can still make it in this industry.
And have a meal. Make a meal of it.
You know, you can live in your truth. Your L's don't need to be L's. You don't need to be embarrassed that you were in love and it didn't work out.
Yes.
And I think that's one thing I try to teach as much as I can, because a lot of YouTubers who are female, they are in the makeup space. They are in the, okay, guys, let's contour.
Yes.
And then don't forget to highlight, which is great. Mm. Love my girlies today.
Space for everyone.
But there must be a space for us.
Yes.
Rona ba bwangso.
Exactly.
The people who go, I know, man.
Yeah.
Because it's okay. It's so okay. And I'm so proud of the kind of ideology I'm creating, because it was how Channel O found me.
Mm.
They were like, we like this girl. She's just so preppy.
Yes. You know? Yes.
I don't know. Getting really emo. Can I have some tissue just so I can just look pretty crying?
Before you get emo, who's Drake?
You're... Drake is a very significant ex of mine. Yeah. Someone I dated for about 4 years.
But you went on about Drake for a while.
But guys, all my experiences were with Drake. I dated him from like 21 and we literally let go of each other when I was, 26?
Yeah.
That's when we cut the cord.
Were you a virgin when you met Drake?
Are you? No, man. Drake didn't deserve all of that.
Oh, okay. No, because I'm trying to make sense of that. The way you carried on about Drake, it's almost like you gave him the flower.
Oh, no. I didn't give Drake the flower. Yeah. But when I met Drake, I really can say he's the guy that I fell in love with.
Mm.
Definitely my biggest heartbreak. Definitely my best relationship. Definitely one that opened up my eyes to the fact that I can love someone so helplessly, you know? So there were a lot of things that happened with him. I think most of my experiences in life were with him. I was 21. I was still very guarded. Mm-hmm. I was very monogamous. So there were no other stories I could tell. But yeah, he's a significant ex.
Mm.
I mean, you must be someone's significant ex. I'll go on the YouTube story times and try to suss out who's spoken about you.
No, do that. Or I'll send you a list rather than... You can call them to come in there and have a confession time with you. No?
Yeah, no. I definitely thought I was going to marry him, so.
Are you dating now?
You? If I say no. I'm still in the probation stages of reviewing people's CVs.
So how many people are being interviewed right now?
Two.
Okay.
Two people are being interviewed. The other one is kind of superseding in those spaces, but, you know.
So what sets the one apart from the other?
So the other one, I think he is a great guy. I love his demeanor. He's so laid back, so cool.
Mm.
But he doesn't try.
Okay.
And then the other one is like madly in love with me. And I'm just like, dude, chill, bro.
Yeah.
Like if I go, what do you need?
Sure.
I love you. I'm like, it's been 2 months. So
what are you going to do?
I think I'm just going to let you find me a boyfriend and let everybody know that I'm still on the look.
In fact, you're going to be on O Ship in December. You're one of our MCs on O Ship.
Yes, I am.
So you might just find yourself a rich husband on O Ship. A lot of rich guys are on the cruise with us. So
you know what? Why did you make it in December? We can even move it to September.
No. We want you to hang in there. And
should I be single by O Ship? Does it make sense to be single?
Either be single by O Ship or bring one of them with. Or bring both of them and one of them will leave the ship as your man.
Have time to kind of suss them out.
Exactly. How do they operate on water?
That's the thing.
You can judge a lot in a man by how he operates on water.
One of the guys who's on the list to be my boyfriend has been on the O-Ship. He's the one that told me, yeah, but freshy, they place the petina. I'm like, ugh, you're so old.
No, but
did you go there?
But also, he can't reduce O-Ship to sister petina.
No.
So maybe you don't need that guy in your life.
Yeah, no. You guys need to play something a little more fresh. Like
no, like I'm saying, if those are his experiences of the ship, then you don't need a guy like that in your life.
Well, you said rich men, so I think it's in my business.
Because he's going to tell you, I know the level of France, I do croissant. You don't need that guy in your life. He's the same guy.
But I'm totally looking forward to the O-Ship. Oh, I've never been on before.
What are you expecting from O-Ship?
You know what I'm expecting? I'm expecting a vibe of like constant music, constant
feel. It's a three-day party. It's a three-day party. So you need to pace yourself.
So who about you, Aning?
In between. Yeah. Where I think the last dance floor closes at 5 or 6 in the morning. At
5 or 6 in the morning?
9, 10, we start the music all over again for 3 days nonstop. Yeah.
So when people get home, they're like finished?
They are finished. If they're not finished, then they didn't O-Ship properly.
No, but... Fresh, we're old, guys.
No,
we can't be rocking like we're 16. Our livers don't operate like that anymore.
I've been doing this for how many years and I'm still doing it. Pace yourself.
Okay.
Yes. So my career and 3 days on O-Ship are a metaphor for pace yourself.
I definitely don't want to get on there and say, somebody out of you guys wanted to be an ultimate fan. Like, I'm just imagining myself walking around saying, yo, guys, yo, I definitely want to MC, but Ntweki Khatetsing. But I'll be ready. I'm ready.
And hopefully it won't be from a dude you met there.
You know what, guys? If I leave there with a boyfriend, then I will have won two bonuses. You know, being an MC and leaving not single.
In fact, please bring your camera and maybe try some of the food on camera.
That would be so cool.
Exactly. You can have like an O-Ship mukbang session.
I definitely will. Thank you for the idea. And nobody better copyright it. Somebody trademark it while we're sitting here right now.
No, no. We'll make sure you have an exclusive. We'll see you on O Ship in one of the dining areas.
Oh, my goodness.
Then we can mukbang it.
Oh, that would be so dope. I'd love that.
Naledi, anything you're working on that we can look forward to?
So Naledi's definitely trying to branch into the radio space. Okay. I mean, I can't say I'm too sad that fresh yet.
So radio people, Naledi's looking for a gig. She's wanted to be on radio since she was in grade 11. She was about 16, 17. She's 31 now. So for half of her life.
31. 30
or 31.
29. I'm 94.
Okay, I apologize. For half of her life, she's wanted to be me. Please give her a job.
Exactly. And now that Fresh has made space for us to be ourselves, I'm just saying that I don't know if you guys know this, but go watch my YouTube channel. I'm really talented. I should be on radio. I mean, Fresh has done his time. He's not even part of the youth anymore.
No, but radio's not about youth, though. Don't reduce radio to youth.
No.
Let us. That's why you're not on radio, because you're reducing it to youth.
We need to spruce it up there. We need to bring some flavor, you know? But I'm definitely trying to jump into the radio space.
In fact, I might fuck around and come back next year, and I'll decide if I want to bring you on as a co-host.
Nah, you know what?
Yeah.
You know
what? Oh, now I have your attention. Ladies and gentlemen, Naledi M is about to leave the building. Yes. Find her on YouTube. She's incredible, great energy, and yes, she is loud. So fucking what?
That is a brilliant ending. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on your show.
This is
Wow! What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Our celebrity guest is in the building. As a kid, he played the role of King Herod in a Sunday school production. They only let him play Jesus because Jesus was not black, remember, according to them. But on other days, he spent time in front of the TV imitating martial arts movies, including the likes of Jean-Claude Van Damme. Or Jean-Claude Van Damme, depending on where you're watching. Some may say that's a bunch of contradictions. We say that makes him an interesting performer. Please give a warm welcome to Quenzo Nobo. Quenzo!
Yes, DJ Fresh, thank you.
What's up, my dude?
I'm good, my dude. Just flew.
My man, from the East Coast to being the toast of every coast, I should be a rapper. No.
Yeah, that's hot. That is nice.
Take us through your journey from childhood. Like, where exactly are you from?
Yeah, so Kamuga is Izingolweni.
Okay.
Kwenda se Potchefstroom.
Yeah.
Bizo Izingolweni.
Sure.
So ilangkulele kona. Ngafunda kona.
Sure.
And then coming up, I've always wanted to entertain people, mostly my family.
I'm told as a child that you were the staring in the house.
Yeah, I was.
So what kind of things were you doing as a child, Enjin?
Like, I would sing.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm the best singer.
Okay.
Yeah. I do baritone, so sure. I can do musicals.
Okay.
Musical theaters, but I can't just sing like Chris Brown because I don't have...
It's not the same.
No, it's not the same. It's not the same. So I didn't want to push it that far.
Sure.
But I would entertain them with music.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And then I would turn on my cassettes.
Sure.
So I'm
a VHS.
Yeah, I'm a VHS.
Yeah.
So I would watch movies and then I'll get entertained by all of the way all of them act.
Sure.
So best to so imitate each other's
there. So what was your favorite actor to impersonate as a child?
It was Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. So what kind of stuff would you do? Like what would you do to impersonate Van Damme?
Spin kicks.
Yeah.
I would do spin kicks. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm saying that's torch.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to do action work in Japan.
Sure.
So, I still don't
know. Mara, you can't do the splits.
Splits?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
No. I can't go that far. I'm not that flexible.
And then you end up in drama school.
Yes.
Why drama?
Yeah. So, why drama?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to go to the school. Applied psychology.
Sure.
And then I got bored because it's not entertainment. So I figured it's okay. Growing up, I've always wanted to be an entertainer.
Sure.
And to do art.
Mm-hmm.
So I dropped out.
Sure.
Go March that like 2 months in. Mm. 2 months in.
2 months in, you were out.
Yeah, 2 months in, I was out. And then still went to my corrections.
Sure.
And then I took a gap year, mm. and then I applied, and then I accepted DUT.
Sure.
And then I went to study, and then I got accepted in drama department.
Sure.
And then that's where I started doing theater.
So you finished drama school at Durban University of Technology. What happens after that?
So what happens after that?
Yeah.
Because I was into theater a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I fell in love with theater so much that I wanted to discover myself as an artist.
Sure.
Because with our industry, I didn't find it very interesting at that time.
Mm.
I don't know why. Nah. So I decided to stay in Durban, and then I did Shakespeare for, I think, 2 years.
Sure.
And then I was...
Which character were you? In which Shakespeare and what character were you?
So we did like two Shakespeares.
Yeah.
So it was Othello.
Sure.
I played Othello.
Yo.
And then Hamlet, I played Horatio.
Yo. So you are stirring.
Yeah.
Do you think you were a better Othello than Horatio, or a better Horatio than Othello?
I think I was a better Horatio than Othello.
Give us an example. Like, what kind of Horatio stuff were you doing?
Horatio stuff?
Yeah. Do you remember any of the lines?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, let's go.
No, my mind is very messed up. But
it's all those scenes from the wife. The scenes from the wife will mess anyone's mind.
They did. Because it's been 2 years. So it's been 2 years. But I do remember some stuff.
Would you say guys with stage experience have a better chance when they go out onto film, into series? I'm seeing, for instance, the same with actors from the UK. A lot of the guys in the UK that are doing well, from the UK, doing well in Hollywood, they started on stage.
Yes.
And the depth of the acting is different.
Yes.
To guys who have not been on stage.
Yes. I think a gift is a gift.
Yeah.
Oh, Mudu, maybe it's pure.
Sure.
Exactly. This is pure. Mudu is on podcast.
Sure.
So if you are talented, you will have to, I mean, from my side, theater things is always keep it disciplined.
Sure.
In terms of, being an actor and how you carry yourself. Obviously you need to know your values and stuff like that. And then that's why I look up to most of Benedict Cumberbatch from UK.
Yes.
Who's now playing Dr. Strange, most of them. So I look up to those people because you can see the discipline that they have behind the scenes and how they carry themselves. So I think most of our actors, they are talented. It's just that sometimes, from what I've experienced, some of us, we lack discipline. Some of us, we lack discipline and respect for a craft.
Sure.
Yeah.
And stage will force you to respect everything about that craft.
Time.
Yes.
Because it's a process, right?
Yeah.
So you start from rehearsals. If we figure late, we had a rule.
Sure.
Yes, it's just that. We'll see if we figure late, my rehearsals. Just tell the rule as well. So
you were never late.
So you were never late. Because my good broke.
Yeah.
So clean.
Sure.
Who's a whole? No matter case of fear, who's say that.
Yeah.
So it teaches you how to be disciplined, to be there on time.
Now, when we look at the work you've done, you know, whether it's The Seed, The Wife, Room 33, what else have you done?
Saloon.
Yeah.
There's a short film we did with Dumbalentle.
Sure.
Yeah. It's called The Saloon.
Mm. Where would you say you started noticing a shift and that people now see you?
To be honest.
Yeah.
It's The Wife. That's where people started seeing me. Obviously, I used to work as a bartender there.
Yeah.
And where I used to work, it's a bar called Amsterdam.
Sure.
So a lot of artists used to come to that bar.
Mm.
So I would sell myself sometimes.
Sure.
So I would have like clips on my phone and then show them like some of the
producers. So you were that bartender.
Yeah.
Every bartender either has a mixed tape, a cousin that raps. You had scenes on the phone.
Yeah, I'd see them on my phone. I mean, you have to. Because,
yeah.
But going back to my name, I'm a short guy.
Just one short.
Just what? The
i5. Yeah.
On me. Yeah, because my colleague was saying, keep your phone up. He said, I'm doing something like this.
But you often talk about how when you got your role on The Wife, You hadn't read the books, but some of the women in your family had.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yes, yeah, my late sister, Zamafuze, passed away 2018.
May her soul rest in peace.
Thank you. Yeah. So she used to love the books so much.
Yes, yeah.
This was before they've done the series.
Before there was even a series, yes.
And then my little sister read it as well.
Mm.
So when I got the role, I told them, we'll say, listen.
Yeah.
Because it's a bit of The Wife. And apparently it's a Somu The Wife.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah, Ma, I've got casted like with Somu The Wife.
So was Ma the first person you told?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. Mm. So I'm Jada, and then also Chelo Gumud, and then Notes called me.
Yeah.
It's Somu The Wife.
Yeah.
Biggest book in the continent.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, that's cool, bro. And then I started reading the book, and then I was like, I fell in love with the book.
Mm.
I fell in love with the book so much because it's so beautiful.
How would you rate the interpretation from book to series? Honestly. Yeah.
It's inspired.
Yeah.
It's inspired. It's not based on the book.
Sure.
So they.
Okay, so it would be unfair to try and compare page for frame, basically.
It is.
Yeah.
It is unfair to try and compare the two.
Mm.
Because I guess it was. Gabish understand, we'll see, it's based on the book.
Yes.
But now it's not based on the book. So even now, they can do a sequel.
Yeah.
Go Jagaza.
Sure.
And
take creative license, basically. Yes,
Exactly. So it was different, for me, it was very interesting in a way, getting into reading the book and then also getting to act in the series as well.
Mm.
Because working on the series, it was a great experience.
Sure.
You know? So I also had fun.
Mm. One of the reasons, apart from the fact that it's inspired by the incredible book series, one of the many talking points on The Wife was the sex scenes, the hectic sex scenes. There's adulting right now. Sex scenes are hectic. What's your policy as an artist when it comes to nudity, sex scenes, kissing?
Yeah, it's a very critical situation where you are placed as an actor.
Sure.
Because it's two people involved.
What do you and your girlfriend? Like, hey, baby, I must take my clothes off tomorrow at work.
Just know. Yeah, it's tricky.
Yeah.
But you just have to make sure, Wootsy, your partner is comfortable as well. Because it's a very...
This is your partner as in your co-star.
Your co-star.
Yes.
Umudo actor and I. So, because my sex scenes are not easy to do those sex scenes in front of the crew. Obviously, it's a closed set.
Yes.
So it's not everyone. It's not everyone who's in there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you just need to you need to rehearse it as a dance. So
it's choreographed.
It's choreographed.
Yes. Mm.
So you guys are both comfortable.
Mm.
But at the same time, for me, I think it has to make sense.
Mm.
So, like, some of the sex scenes, I didn't agree to them because for me, it didn't make any sense.
Sure.
So that
so you have the leeway to say not this one.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Mm.
You do have
because I sometimes hear people talk about how I'm afraid to turn down certain scenes because I might be recast. if I refuse to do the scene, for whatever reason, I might be recast, for instance. So you don't have that fear?
I know. We were lucky with the Showmax and Stained Glass. Mm. They understood.
Sure.
So there was no...
So what did you refuse to do? Now I'm curious.
Yeah, man, then I go. So I refused some of the sex. I don't think.
So what was the issue? The fact that they were showing too much, or that be too much implied sex? Like
no,
take us through it.
It's just that I wasn't comfortable with some of the leading up to the sex scene.
For sure.
Yeah, so I wasn't comfortable.
Mm.
I hope they forgive me.
Now, I'm told that when you do intimacy scenes, because you are the character, where not as the actor are not meant to feel anything, and the fact that if you feel something, then you've broken character. Is that true?
I know. I was an interpreter in the little girl.
Yeah.
But... I mean, from my side, I guys went to loot.
Sure.
That guys went to loot. But Guba Kona, an intimacy coach on set.
Okay. Which is very important.
Yes.
Because I think one of the sad things about your industry for the longest time is things were taken for granted. There'd be no intimacy coach. There'd be no direction. And things would just happen.
Yes. I think we are lucky because... Sure. The swing on the says... So, by Ashu, it's okay. If you feel something, just raise your hand. And then see or miss.
Okay.
And then you can get cooled down.
So how many times did you raise your hand?
I have... I mean, that language is a lot. A lot.
My man, the way you're defending yourself, looks like you're raising your hand every 5 minutes.
It's true. A lot. That was a lot.
In fact, speaking of true, you're a praying man.
Yes.
You pray every morning.
Yes.
What did you pray for this morning?
For this morning, I prayed for my brother, my little brother, who's not okay at the moment.
What's his name?
Utinumuz.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going through a rough time, so I prayed for him.
Mm.
I prayed for my mom.
Mm.
We've lost our dad recently.
Flip, sorry to hear that, man.
Go much. So.
Condolences.
Thanks. So, yeah, it's just...
So, how many siblings do you have?
Yo, from my dad's side, yo, bro. I guys didn't call it.
Try me. How many do you have?
30 plus.
30?
I can say 30 plus. I think my brother will tell you something.
30 something?
Yeah.
And how many of them have you met or do you have a relationship with?
It's so many. So many. I've met so many of them. But from mom's side, it's about 7.
Okay.
Yeah. Which about bangers umas? Because why travel? So I'm on a meet. So asas.
There might be more. How did losing dad affect how you guys relate with Ma? Because obviously now you guys have to pull together for Ma.
We had to change everything because we had to take care of Ma.
Sure.
You know, because Baba, he was the pillar. He was the pillar. Mm. So, and then we Suba, Itinaga, because I have a twin. My twin brother, so it's me and him.
And you guys identical?
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's in a magic medicine. Now, again, quarter in terms of help, maybe helping our sister emphasize and then kids because it's a food, you know, and since it's running a business, so we have to we have to pay more attention now in terms of business and everything. So,
what are you gonna miss about Dubaba?
His jokes. His jokes. He used to call me a lot. Well, call us a lot.
So he had a lot of airtime.
Why you collecting the food? I'm for it.
Yeah.
After I'm right. I need to retire. Yeah. I'm right. Yeah. Okay. Telling you
airtime. Yeah. I must call my other 30 children.
I'll miss everything about him. He was a fighter.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. We're gonna play a game. It's called the Wow Game.
The Wow Game.
I'll ask you a question, and you must simply answer. First one is Wow, what a celeb moment. The first time you realized that people recognize me. When was that moment?
When was it? I was coming from Joburg to going to Durban. Mainly, I found a mask, so we just started the wife.
Yeah.
And then, boom, they started recognizing me. I don't know how to react to this. So
How did it feel?
It felt great because that means they recognize, they appreciate your work.
Yes.
So they
see you.
Yeah. So yeah. That was crazy. Really.
Wow, what a fan moment. Who were you fanning over? Who did you meet or see? Where you're like, yo, I'm such a fan.
Yo, it's a lot, bro. Even now, I'm fanning. It's a lot, bro.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Yo, there's so many people, bro. There's so many. I respect. I try and respect every artist.
Sure.
That I see. So.
Wow, what an actor.
Wow, what an actor. Abdul Khoza. Abdul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, he's dope, ne?
His energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sexy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I get goosebumps talking about his acting, bro.
Even on The Wife, just watching Abdul in action, I was like, this guy is incredible.
And
there were days I'm like, I'm sure he's not acting right now.
Hey, who's a shock egg? Mother to a cat.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then he switches on.
Do you hold character when you're on set? Or do you come in and out? Because some people are in character the whole time, other people are in and out of character.
Sometimes you break character. Yeah. To a card, you break character because we don't have green rooms there.
Ah, yes, yes.
So you don't have your own
green room. Your own little caravan.
Yeah, so it's just a green room like this.
Sure.
So it's just like this all came in.
So you're stuck together until the final take.
Yeah, until the beat.
Sure. Wow, what a mother. What is it about Uma?
She's such a loving soul.
Yeah.
When my other siblings from my dad's side, Beza, saying, okay, this is all Bonu Baba.
Sure.
Smaz, with the Sushala. And then she would accept them.
Oh, wow.
With warm hearts.
Oh, wow.
So they never had fights. So I would say, hey, when you talk about you're about to love us.
So she was graceful about it.
She was. She was. So, and then she's very supportive of them.
Okay. They're our children.
Yes. Yes.
Wow, what a homecoming moment. When did you go back home and realize, hey, I'm a stirring?
Oh, I fair. I'm go to Angfi Ebsu.
Yeah.
Angfi, you mean?
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure. So, I'm going to go to Angfi Ebsu. So,
So you sneak in, you sneak out.
I sneak in, I sneak out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, what a dad. What have you learned from Ubaba that you're going to take into your fathering?
It's taking responsibility.
Mm.
And not so good to depend on Ebazalin, because we're going to depend on again.
Sure.
So, Bessier will see, okay, the colonies in the water, and then it's a middle way.
Sure.
Yeah, well. Mm. So that's why, even you say Vasiti, Snow was Bessabenda, Ebefunda, Naving Sevens and Ebefunda.
So,
Beswas would see Cocaine Randy,
sure.
Galas Catilas, I was going to see Cocaine, and then my Lampa Caesar and Baba and Caesar call. But Beswas would see, like, taking, like, to take responsibility. So I would like my children also to take their own responsibility.
It's been a journey for you, but obviously you're still building. You're still trying to fly higher than where you are right now. What's your bigger dream for yourself and your career?
I want to own my own production company. Also tell African stories.
And make better money.
True.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
And try to change the industry.
Yeah.
In a better way as well. Contribute in the transformation of our industry as well.
But how are you personally, when are dealing with the challenges within the industry, and what are those challenges right now?
I try to keep my head down. So with myself and my agent, we've got, so I deal with my own, we deal with my contracts ended as it.
Sure.
So if something I'm not happy with, we address it. I'm not met halfway, I don't take that role. So I just know my value in a way. So I don't want to say yes to everything. While guys are actually would see, gune rente mele ngikhokhele, gune imoto mele ngikhokhele. I need to take care of myself.
In fact, that was my next question, because, you know, it's one thing to know your value and say, I will not work for that.
Yes.
Or I will not do this role. But you still have expenses.
Yeah.
You must still send Uma money, for instance.
Yeah. No, I'm lucky because with my brother now, we've just opened a company. So we've just got a contract that we're working on.
Okay.
So, and...
Is the contract a tender?
Hmm?
A contract, you mean a tender? I hope they're not providing water, man. Water is the new gold, Pen.
I know. No, it's our small business that we are working on. So,
and how's that going?
It's going well so far. So far, it's going well. So people are supporting us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd rather spend my time on that project.
Sure.
You know, and waste my time.
Sure.
Respectfully.
Is there anyone whose time you're not wasting? Are you dating by any chance?
Yeah, I know. I am dating.
Yeah. Tell us about it. Where did you meet? Can you tell us her name? Or?
I know about Jazz.
Both her names. My man, Pelo, we're trying to avoid another 36 children here.
36 children?
We're trying to avoid that.
I know. That's it.
But you are dating, though?
Yes.
Okay. And how's that going? In relation, for instance, to the industry you're in? Or is it someone in the industry?
No. No, it's not.
But she understands and she gets it.
I think she does.
Yeah.
She does. I hope so.
We'll know soon enough.
We'll know soon enough.
He might be single next week. We'll find out. Tune in for another episode of Will He Be Single Next Week? In closing, budget is not an issue. You've set up your production company. You have to do a story about a South African figure. Who is that figure and who's the cast?
Steve Biko.
Steve Biko, okay.
And I would cast Steve Biko, Tony Horoge.
Okay. And the rest of the cast?
And then the rest of the cast, Oadlala, Unkosikazi Steve Biko would be Usisi Ta Horoge.
Okay.
And Bonko Khoza, Abdul Khoza, Tsimkosi Mthembu, Thobani Ndlovu, Wiseman Mube, and also our feature.
That sounds like a cast of Shaka Moos.
Of course, but Tata Mo, and then obviously I would bring in new actors.
Yes.
I would have to open doors for new actors.
Now you're doing an international movie. Budget is not a problem. Who are you casting? And what's the story about? Because also as someone who loves martial arts, that is also good at basketball, how would you incorporate all of that into a movie that you're making?
So I would make a story about a basketball player who goes through a journey of...
it goes to the NBA.
No. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And then it becomes a superhero movie. You know, like...
So, through the basketball.
With the basketball.
Okay. So is the basketball magic, like... Oh, okay. But it comes back like a boomerang.
I hope it makes sense.
No, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me. And then who would you cast internationally for that?
International? Jonathan Majors. Jonathan Majors.
Why Jonathan Majors versus, for instance, Denzel, who you also love, or Jean-Claude Van Damme, who raised you?
No, because Jonathan Majors, because he's still young. I think he fits well in the character. I think Denzel would be the father.
Yes.
Because he would pass it over to him, those powers.
Yes.
He would pass,
No, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Brother man, what are you working on and where can we see you next?
I can't say what's the name of the show at the moment, but okay. We just finished yesterday. So
is it a series?
It is a series.
Is it on TV, or is it streaming?
Streaming.
Okay. So what are the streaming networks, basically? So the budget will be good.
I hope you can see that.
So what role do you play in this new series?
I can't say, but...
So you guys wrapped yesterday?
Yeah, we just wrapped yesterday. Today.
Today,
At 1 o'clock.
Okay, so from here, you're going to the rap party, basically.
I don't think it's today. I don't think it's today.
Okay, but... So you can't tell us anything, but tell us something. Give us something. Leave us with something.
Try not to spill any beans.
Okay, so there's beans in the movie. There's a Jack and the Beanstalk.
How can I put this?
It's too late for them to fire you or to recast you. You guys are rapping today, so...
season two.
Oh, yeah, season two. Ish.
Season two. Yeah, but it's a story based... it's inspired by... a real life guy.
Okay. South African guy?
South African.
Okay.
Yeah. He used to do heists and stuff like that. So.
Oh, okay. So it's a heist series.
Yeah, but it got like different layers.
Okay.
And it.
But there's a heist somewhere.
There is.
In South Africa. Is it a black guy or a white guy?
I think he's white.
Not standard.
And,
huh? Eh?
DJ Flash.
Gwen's on fire to thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully, just like the story of the new series that you're in is layered, hopefully people have discovered other layers about you. But we wish you nothing but the best in your career, for you too. May you fly high. May the new tender give birth to other tenders. And whatever else that you're working on, may you fly, my dude.
Thank you so fly.
You're very talented, and I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you so much. Thank
Ladies so much. And gentlemen, Gwen Zo Ngobo is about to leave the building.
This is...
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.